So my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. Isn't God good? I mean, he's so great and majestic that he creates everything that we see and we're amazed with. And then even when you get down into the most intricate detail of creation, we're even blown away even more. But yet he is so soft and tender and gentle. He covers the whole gauntlet of human emotion. And I tell you what, I've already been in church this morning. Thanks, Matt. That was good to be in Sunday school today. And thank you for being open with us. Even the crows are enjoying the cool air. This morning when I got up, let the dogs out to use the bathroom, I walked out and I went, ooh, it's cold. So I've come out with a little bit warmer clothes on. So last week we looked at one of the most explosive events in the New Testament. I mean, it was extraordinary when God chose to pour out the Holy Spirit upon his people. Now, you know, we could use the word sin, but that's not what the scripture uses. He decided to pour out. I mean, just pour and overflowed and filled where they were overflowing. And those people got a good dose of it when the Holy Spirit poured out on them. And they acted that way. Do we? Let's look at that. I want to set the scene again. We're going to go back to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to lay a foundation, and then we're going to jump into some new material. Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you that you are who you are. Thank you that you offer us peace in difficult times. Joy in the face of persecution. Strength in times of weakness. Because you're a good father. Now, Father, as we take a look at what happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the 120 people in that upper room, help us to get a good grasp of what's going on. Help us to learn from that. In the song that we sang earlier, open our eyes, Lord, let us see. The eyes of our heart, let us see and experience what you have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues, as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow. Say that with me. Wow. You can even say amen if you want to, or hallelujah. I mean, he's here. He's here. Now, if you were one of the people on the outside, and as we talked about last week, you heard this cyclonic sound all of a sudden coming from this house, what would you do? Yeah, most people probably wouldn't be running from it. They'd be running to it. What in the world is going on? And they show up, and all of a sudden these Galileans, have you looked at the history of Galileans? It's not very complimentary. Remember the scripture says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? They're probably not the most respected people in the world. But hey, they're the people that God chose to send the Holy Spirit to. What does that say to us? I still have a chance. You do too. But anyway, you see all this going on, and all of a sudden these bunch of Galileans are speaking in languages that they never learned, and I'm sure they were fluent in what they were saying. And they were talking about God and praising and worshiping. Hey, it was a great worship session. And then all these people come running together. Well, if I was in the crowd, I'd want to know what's going on. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 5, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And this, at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered. I bet they were. Because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished. Let's stop just a second. Bewildered, amazed, and astonished. What does that describe? That's somebody who is just blown away. And they were saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? And they were amazed. They were amazed. Verse 12, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? They want to know what's going on. You see, the insiders knew what was going on. They had been waiting for the Holy Spirit, and God pours out the Holy Spirit upon them. They knew that the Holy Spirit had just arrived, and they weren't being very Baptist. They were shouting and praising God, worshiping God. But you see, the outsiders didn't have a clue, but follow me. They wanted to know what was going on. Funny that. Those on the outside of the house were so curious about what was going on with those in the inside that they started asking questions. Let's make it personal. Is there anybody in Warhope wondering what's going on here? They should be. Is there anybody in our communities who look at us and they know us? Are they wondering what's going on with that person? Should be. Oh, but we don't want to draw any attention to ourselves. You won't find that in the Bible. Yep, they were, but as you might expect, there were some people that were not all that impressed with what they saw. Look at verse 13. But others, mocking, said, they're filled with new wine. In other words, they're drunk. Yep, they were acting a little bit strange. The old saying I like, they were acting like nuts, but they're screwed onto the right bolt. Don't you think when the Holy Spirit of God comes on into somebody's life and it takes over, they need to be acting a little bit different than normal? If we're used to walking around like this and the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you don't need to keep walking like this. Let me get away from the fan, okay? Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Amen. Get excited about it that Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit, and this is the life-changing, world-changing power that's ours. Amen. Good enough, Ken? All right. But do people in our community know that about us? Or do we hide it? Well, anyway, after the naysayers come up on, oh, by the way, let me just say this. The best way to keep people from talking bad about you is say nothing, do nothing, go nowhere. Excuse my English. The best way to keep people from saying anything about you is do nothing. I don't think you'll find that in the Bible. He says, go. And you'll have people talk about you. Might as well make it interesting. But anyway, Peter stood up with the rest of the disciples, and oh, Peter comes alive. This Peter, who's always sticking his foot in his mouth, he gets it right. Why do you think he gets it right this time? Holy Spirit's with him. The Holy Spirit, he can even help those of us who readily put our foot in our mouth. Well, let's look at this sermon, all right? Peter said this. Well, by the way, this is the first message to the newborn Christian church right here. Verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." In other words, listen up, guys. I got something I want to say. "For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day." Translated 9 o'clock in the morning. "But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Into the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy." So God had predicted through the prophet Joel way back in his day that he was going to pour out his Holy Spirit on both men and, let me get that right, women and men, ladies first. He was going to pour his Holy Spirit out on the women and the men, and they are going to spread the word around the world. That's what he said. And that's exactly what happened. Everyone in the upper room had the Holy Spirit poured out on them, and they were pouring out praise and worship for the things that God had done. And some of them were speaking in languages they had never learned. How would you have liked to have been in that meeting? Wow, that would have been nice. Unfortunately, there would have been others who would have been criticizing their methodology. You wouldn't know any of those people, would you? You know, something a little bit different. Well, we've never done it that way. You know what I say when somebody says we've never done it that way? Well, it's about time you do. But there was people criticizing them, what they were doing. And the Holy Spirit was in control, and they were getting criticized, folks. Make sure that doesn't happen around here. Anyway, something interesting about Joel's prophecy. He said, through the inspiration of God himself, that when the Holy Spirit is poured out on everyone, that will be in the last days. Have you ever thought about that? If I may interpret, we know, all of us that have been waiting for the last days to begin, we know now that the last days at least began then 2,000 years ago. So if the last days even began 2,000 years at Pentecost, how much closer are we now? Are you ready? Do you know he's coming? We're 2,000 years into the last days. It just might be that the coming of the Lord is soon. Hallelujah. Well, let's get back to Peter's preaching, okay? As he completes Joel's prophecy. Verse 19, "And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, that great and magnificent day." Wow! We know all those things are going to happen. No, I don't think it's the recent blood moons either. But those things are going to happen. And then the last phrase he says in verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Aren't you glad of that? Everyone calls on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. So, we know these things are coming or even present. Are you ready for his return? Are you ready? Now, Peter gets personal. Verse 22 and 23. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definitive plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." You did it. He's quit preaching and start meddling now, hadn't he? But I told you he was going to get personal. You did it. Let me amplify that a little bit. I'm going to go to Acts chapter 5, verse 30. Don't go there. Let me read it. Peter's speaking. He says, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree." You did it, guys. How would you feel if you were in the crowd then? There's no doubt there were people in the crowd that had played a part in the murder of Jesus Christ, or at least they consented to his murder. They were there. They were watching what was going on. Peter was speaking to them. Can you imagine how they were beginning to feel? Peter continues, again, he's speaking of Jesus in verse 24, "whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by them." And what he just did, he gave us the same gospel then in Acts chapter 2 that we have today. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, murdered by lawless men and raised from the dead by God himself. Up from the grave he arose. I wish I could remember the rest of the words of that song. "With a mighty triumph o'er his foes." Thank you, Julie. "He arose a victor from the dark domain." Wow, folks. Do this part. "He arose, he arose." Say it. Hallelujah. Christ arose. He's alive, folks. That's the message that Jesus wanted to get across to these men who had murdered him. And then he continued. Well, first, Peter goes in to explain to the Jews about King David's prophecy that Jesus would be killed, but he would not be left in the grave because his flesh would never see corruption or rot away. That's the prophecy that Peter went back and talked about. Now go with me to verse 32. Then Jesus, this Jesus, God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. You see, Peter took a short detour back into the Old Testament, and then he brought it right back up to where these people are. And folks, he's getting ready to drive it home. Listen to what he says in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. You had murdered the Messiah. I'm sure there were some people whose hearts were going boom, boom. There's some sweating hands. And I'm sure there were some people beginning to kind of look for the back door, although there wasn't one. They were kind of starting to back up just a little bit because preacher Peter's getting all over them. Hey, folks, and there's something else that's going on too. You know the Holy Spirit's here now? The Holy Spirit's already in those people's lives, and he is squeezing those hearts saying, that's right, you did it. What are you going to do about it? You did it. You're the one. You're the sinner in this lot. You're the one who consented to it. Yes, you did. Now, what are you going to do about it? Don't think I would have been in that crowd. Verse 37. Now, when they heard this is the response of the crowd. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, men and brethren, what shall we do? You ever been there? You ever been there that you realized that you were the sinner? You were the culprit. You were the guilty one. It's out in the open. And all of a sudden you're shaking and say, what do I do now? We've all been there. We've all been there. Peter answers in verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter could not be more clear. Listen, folks, listen to what Peter said. First, repent of your sins. Number two, get baptized. Yeah, I'm going to go there in a minute. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit will fall. Repentance, baptism, the Holy Spirit falls. These guys in the crowd, they knew they were guilty. Peter had made it obvious. The Holy Spirit had told them. And now they're supposed to repent. Well, what does repent mean? Repentance means this direction that you're right now going, you choose to turn around and go the other way. You're following your own desires, your own self-will, you're living for you and nobody else. And when you repent, you say, uh-oh, I'm going the wrong way. and you on purpose for yourself choose to turn around and go the other way to follow Jesus, that is repentance. It's a choice. It's not a decision. It's a choice for a life change. That is repentance. Have we all done that? That's right, I'm talking to everyone. The old and the young. Have you done that? Have you made that choice to quit following your own desires and choose to follow His? Repentance. And then be baptized. That's what Jesus told us to do when we get saved. Once they decide, make that choice to quit following their own desires and start following Jesus, then you're supposed to be baptized. You see, the thing about it is, when you decide to follow Jesus, that's an internal thing that just took place. And then He says, all right, let's put your decision on public display, and that is a public baptism. And you're making your statement, then and there, I choose to follow Jesus. And when I go down under the water, that's signify the old person is gone. When I come up out of the water, that is to signify I'm living a brand new life. Talking about a new thing. That's it. You come out of that water, and the baptism just shows the world, I belong to Jesus, and He is mine. Hallelujah. Say it. Hallelujah. He's mine. We're alive in Jesus. We need to act that way. Folks, repent and be baptized. And then it gets good. You've confessed, repented. You follow the Lord in baptism. And God just permeates your life with the Holy Spirit. Well, you all know all the theology around that, but we won't destroy the moment. But folks, let me just say this. If you've never seen yourself as the one who needed to repent, that's your decision right now. You see, the same Spirit that was motivating Peter, that was convicting the hearts of those who were listening. That same Spirit that was there 2,000 years ago is here right now. Well, what happened then? Well, let me read it to you. Verse 41, then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 people got saved. In less than a couple of hours, it went from a church of 120 to 3,120. I think that was the first mega church right there. How would you have liked to have been there? Things are no different now. Same Spirit, same God, same need, same Jesus, same repentance necessary, same salvation available. You see, the Apostle Paul brought that into our day. You see, Paul said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for those who think they're good enough, he said, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not even you. You need to repent. Well, how did he do that? Paul continues that Jesus While we were sinners, Christ died for us. When we did not deserve it, He still died. Aren't you glad? Well, what do I do, Pastor Tony? Paul told us, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Have you done that? If that is not something that you've done, spiritually speaking, there is no more important question in eternity than that question. Have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you seen where you were going and got sick and tired of it and repented and chose to follow Him? Have you done that? If you have and you haven't been baptized, we got to get you wet. Remember I said just a few minutes ago that, you know, you make that personal decision and you turn, repent from your old ways and you start following Jesus. Hey, you've made that choice. Now, Jesus tells us to put it on public display. And the way we do that is get in the water and get baptized and give the testimony to the world that you're Jesus's. You're a child of God. The Holy Spirit lives inside. Then you will notice things begin to happen in your life. But we have to be obedient. Baptism is the first step of obedience in following the Lord. If you need to be baptized, see me or Matt immediately following the service and we'll get the pool ready. It will have a few more warm days, I think. Julie was baptized with snow and ice on the ground in a mountain stream. I'm baptized in the surf out here at one of the beaches. It's not good for short people. I thought we're going to see some float away. Folks, in all seriousness, the same power that redeemed 3,000 people in the day of Pentecost is still redeeming people today. Russell, can you? Russell's going to play a song here in just a second. He's going to sing it by himself. If you've never made that decision, I don't care if you've been sitting on the church pew for years and years and years. That was my story. And one day, sitting on the third pew back, I was raised in church, married to a Christian, sitting three rows back, God said, "You're lost. You're lost. You're phony. You're not real, Tony. If you die right now, you go to hell." No, that wasn't even what the preacher was preaching on. That's what God told me. You know what I did? When the pastor gave the invitation, I got up. I come to an old-fashioned altar and got on my knees. And I got saved. And He wants to save you. Russell's going to sing a song. Quietly, Christians praying. Go ahead, Russell.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portal, waiting and watching, watching for you. for me.
Listen to the call.
Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come.
Sing the chorus one more time, Russell.
Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
With every head bowed, every eyes closed, if you need to repent from the direction you're going and you want to turn around and begin to follow Jesus, you need to make that decision right now. If you would say, Pastor Tony, I need you to pray for me as I make that decision, just slip up your hand. Anyone? Anyone? Secondly, if you've never been baptized, you still need to make that public declaration to the world that Jesus is yours and you are His. If you want to be baptized, please see Matt or I, and we'll stir the waters. Father, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessed Holy Spirit that changes lives. Thank you that you're still doing that today. Father, we praise you and worship you for who you are. Now, Father, through the Holy Spirit, flow through us to this community to where we can see it turn to Jesus. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares to you. Have a great week.
Before you go, folks, I would like to thank the chaplain.